Hello
Okay.
from Tokyo. Yeah.
Hello from Burbank. All right, let's get right into it because I want you to set the record straight on Rossi Ogawa. Tell me all about
Yeah.
it. What's
Yeah,
up?
well, a lot of things that I haven't read everything about it in English speaking podcasts, but it seems to me that none of these, well, I'm not attacking them. They're good fans, I'm sure. But everything they're talking about on the so-called Joshi podcast, it's something that they've read, read or heard elsewhere. And it's a reproduction of your hearsay and a little bit of your opinions. And none of them, I'd say I'm not attacking them. Okay. They're great fans. I'm pretty sure. But what we're going to talk about today is my firsthand information.
That's
Is that
right.
good enough?
I think that's more than good enough.
Okay. And the first thing first, up until 2 weeks ago, to be exact, up until 13 days ago, when you talk about Rossi, Ogawa, and Stardom, they were one and the same. Okay. Yeah. Up until not even 2 weeks ago, up until 13 days ago, when you talk about Stardom, we're talking about Rossi, Ogawa. When you talk about Rossi, Ogawa, we're talking about Stardom. Okay. But the parent company of Stardom, Bushiroad Fight is another this segment, smaller company off of the big parent company Bushiroad.
That's right. They're
The
not the
big, huge.
same, even
Yeah.
though there's Bushiroad, New Japan, and Bushiroad Fight with Stardom.
Yeah,
It
yeah, yeah.
used to be like a kickboxing, and there were
Yeah,
many.
they closed down the kickboxing segment of that. Yeah.
But it's how it
Portion,
started
their
like
portion
that.
of the company. Yeah. They wanted to make it separate. But the parent company, meaning that the capital, money, the fund, come from the same, But the thing is, though, they don't send, Bushiroad wouldn't send their top brain executive into Bushiroad Fight. That's a problem, right? Yeah, they're sending guys that they don't want, probably. But anyhow, I'm not here to bad, really bad mouth thing, anybody, but I want to give everybody the clear picture of what's been happening, okay?
Please.
And people seem to know very little about Rossi Ogawa. And really bothered me when I heard the thing that I said, Rossi's been brainwashing wrestlers. It's like, brainwashing who? What? And they don't seem to understand the value and experience and vision of Rossi. The Rossi's been around since 1978, beauty pair era, okay? And the boom, early 80s boom period of Crash Girls, Lioness Asuka and Chigusa Nagayo era, because thanks to Rossi's hard work, they became superstar, like larger than life superstar. And
Cultural
they were popular,
moment.
of course. Yeah, like a cross media, cross promotion, cross genre. Crash Girls weren't just wrestling superstar, but they had the opera, they had the movie, they had the record, singing record, all kinds of merchandising things, all these things that Crash Girls era was huge. And Rossi was behind it. And also 90s. Oh, okay. Before I forget, he made Madusa star in Japan. Yeah, remember that? And after Madusa, the Debbie Malenko, the Reggie Bennett, all these Americans who came to live in Japan, that Rossi arranged it. Okay. In 90s cross promotion boom period, if you remember, All Japan Women against JWP against LLPW against Women Division of FMW, just Budokan to Yokohama Arena to all the way to Tokyo Dome, that era, remember? Rossi was the brain behind it. Then after that, the financial, thing hit, All Japan Women and wrestlers leaving, and when that was back in 1997, Rossi left All Japan Women to form RCN. Yeah, the company wasn't exactly great success, but they had 5 year run. Then Rossi was also running Fuka Matsuri, if you remember, Fuka's show. And Fuka was training a whole bunch of girls, not without really having any plan to run any shows. You know what I'm saying? If you remember Fuka, she was popular and had friends on, I mean, personal friends and direct friend and friends on the web and or the social media. Then Fuka, just kind of gathered girls, you know, come over and practice. Oh, let's work out. Mm. And all of a sudden, 10 girls all ready to debut without no company, right? Mm. Then Fuka called Rossi. We've been training girls. And I've been training girls. Fuka said that. Come to, that was in Shinkiba ring when Shinkiba, you know, let go, you know, wrestlers, you know, rent a place to practice because they always have wrestling ring there. Then Fuka was already training like 8-10 girls. And Rossi came over and said, so you guys train these girls without any actual plans? I mean, to run shows or anything like that? So, then watch the practices. Some of these girls are actually ready to debut. Then Rossi said, I guess I have to start the company again. So that was 13 years ago. It was beginning of Stardom. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even planning on starting Stardom. That's how, it's almost naturally that Fuka came to Rossi, you know, again, that, hey, I want to start something. And then there you have that start, beginning of Stardom. In that practice session, they had people like Mayu Iwatani in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow, so it's been 13 years now. But like I said a minute ago, up until 2 weeks ago, when we talk about Rossi, we were talking about Stardom. When we were talking about Stardom, we were talking about Rossi's company. But now we have to, you know, really separate it, not to confuse anybody. Let's say, I'm going to say like this version of Stardom or mm-hmm. Bushiroad Stardom.
Yes.
And
yes.
Rossi's new company. Rossi's new company already has name, already has logo, already ordered championship belt, and already have schedules lined up, not announced. So, see, I'm not going to be able to say everything I know about this because Rossi has to be the one to announce it officially. Mm. Starting date and the building they have already booked and the plans they have. And it's very important. Very important to understand this one. Rossi is not trying to create second set of Stardom. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He left the company, right? Well, Bushiroad says they fired him, okay? Rossi actually gave notice back in November. He was leaving. Yeah. But as soon as the Bushiroad company found out that the Rossi is trying to start his own new company and taking some of the girls from Stardom. So it's like tempering, you know, these wrestlers are under contract and it's like, you cannot even talk to girls. Rossi didn't. He was going to leave and start new company and Bushiroad executive knew about it and they have to admit they knew about it. They even talk about, okay, 3 years from now, let's have your new company against Stardom, the cross-promotion war. 3 years from now. All right, see you later, right? But just as soon as this Rossi's move and most of the girls from Stardom wanted to get out of there, that's when this Stardom decided to have real quick announcement on the media that the Rossi's contract being terminated effective immediately.
Mm.
He's tried to steal talent from our company and he's been terminated, right? And that they did that to make him look bad that much. And the very next day, Rossi, didn't counter, but of course, sure enough, Tokyo Sports went to Rossi to have interview to get his side of the story. Naturally, he couldn't say everything about it, but yes, he left the company and they knew about it. But yesterday, you know, right after the 13th, you know, anniversary show, everybody got picture taken in the ring and everything, that the front cover of Weekly Pro Wrestling Magazine, the whole bit. They had the wrestlers meeting right away, the dressing room, announcing in front of all the talent that the Rossi's contract being terminated effective immediately. They sent him home. You know, it's like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. Anyhow, that this day and age is interesting. That like back in 80s and 90s into 2000, you know, this Japanese news going to English speaking world, you know, a lot of times I was a lot of people assumed or even accused me of my giving all the info to Dave Meltzer and Wrestling Observer. That's not it now. I don't think Wrestling Observer is as popular as it used to be, for one thing. And also that now that most of these Japanese articles that come out on Weekly Pro Wrestling, Tokyo Sports, the Nikkan Sports, the Yahoo Japan News and all that, or Rakuten or something, that has been translated into English by Google Translation, like a minute after. So it's out there, you know. And something's always missing in the translation. And also, even if your translation was right, you still don't get this nuance. Does it make sense?
Nuance or missing a piece of the context, like a really key part that's maybe something from history, or maybe it's, you know, sometimes in a Japanese news article, there's things that are left out intentionally, you know?
Yeah, that too.
We're supposed to know. So it makes sense.
In Google Translation, do not read between lines.
Not at all.
Yeah. But those are important things. Anyhow, that yes, Rossi is starting a new company. And also, like, it's been almost like a common understanding in this podcast world, in English speaking Joshi world out there, that it's like a big exodus.
Right.
Like, right. Mitsuharu Misawa leaving All Japan to form Pro Wrestling Noah, and everybody, the referee, the ring crew, the music guy, to the sound guy, it's not like that. It's not like
that. A very, very different situation.
Yeah.
Very different.
And also, Rossi wouldn't say no if, you know, wrestler wanna come to his group, you know. But it's not like he wanted to take all the wrestlers out of this stardom, then start his own company. That's not the scenario. And that's why I said Rossi is not trying to create a second set of stardom. He wants to start the company that can develop and, you know, the scout and discover and train and debut new talent to the next generation. That is completely different from that Bushiroad philosophy of business. See, this is my opinion. Bushiroad or Bushiroad executives that was involved in stardom business, they don't respect wrestling. They don't respect wrestlers. They did not respect Rossi Ogawa. The thing was, when the company was purchased by Bushiroad parent company back in 2019, just like months before pandemic, then the year 2020 comes, big pandemic, the slowest business ever, right? But 2020, 21, 23, 23, 24, it's a four-year operation. And the basic deal was, though, that Bushiroad will take over all the business end of the company, ticket, you know, the building, booking, and the scheduling, transportation, and of course, the copyright material and merchandise. Yeah. And ticket sales, that's the wrestling company, that end of the portion of the business, all Bushiroad. It was promised that actual software, the creative end of the professional wrestling, would be handled by executive producer Rossi Ogawa. That was the deal. That means they are not going to oversee what's taking place in the dressing room or backstage or in Rossi's dressing room, or your long-term, you know, long-term storyline to your immediate storyline, or the character of wrestlers, or the most importantly, who goes up and down. It's wrestling. But for some reason, from the time went on, they started overruling what Rossi's were doing, and they started doing things like put the hands on the creative end of the wrestling business. Rossi kind of knew about it because, yeah, when the purchase is done, is the business end of the wrestling and creative end of the business? Yeah. But the creative end of the business and this business portion of the business will overlap, because you wouldn't be able to produce this merchandise until this wrestler's babyface turn. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Or you cannot announce so-and-so is going to produce movies. until this is done in the ring first.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But they have no idea how this wrestling thing works. And also, they're the owner of the company. They pretty soon they started making plans about wrestling itself. And Rossi's started going like this, you know, like the first year, second year, second. I had it. Remember that, like, a Halloween special, like, one of the matches they had, one night they had this, you know, hardcore match and casket match and yes. Falls Count Anywhere match and this, all the 5-6 different kind of death matches with no reason.
Mm.
You see, death match, cage match is, I mean, I might be old-fashioned, but that means to settle the score, right? These two wrestlers had been feuding months and months to settle the score once and for all. You'll put these two wrestlers into cage. That means something.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah. Basically. But they don't understand this gimmick and the storyline and the character. And also, non-wrestling people learning about ups and downs of this wrestling thing. It's like, oh, so you can cast any wrestlers and make them champion. Mm. It doesn't work that way in wrestling, does it?
It shouldn't. I mean, I see if it is some. What do you think about what's going on with New Japan right now? And it seems like it's kind of similar to what you're explaining.
Yeah, but they never let them in. I mean, Jado and Gedo will never tell Bushiroad the all the details.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or who goes over on the G1 Climax tournament this year, or, you know, ahead of time. They are not going to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So division is separated. And also, what bothers me is that these Bushiroad executives, you know, coming from the parent company Bushiroad,
mm-hmm.
they don't say these things to New Japan wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
male superstars. Why do they think they can come and start touching creative end of the business because they're a female athlete?
Seems like an issue. It seems like an issue. I feel like I've heard complaints from people within Bushiroad, workers and performers that have always complained about not exactly what you're saying about associates getting themselves involved in creative, but maybe overstepping and the feeling of disrespect that you described earlier. Yeah,
feeling of disrespect because they look at wrestling as product.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestlers are also products. And the matches and the footage of videos and likenesses are contents that they own, you know? So they can do anything about. And it's not like human doing. Wrestling is really human. And the business end of it, oh, God, it's such a baby way to think about it as a business. That's fine. But wrestling, I've always said this, and I'll say it again, that wrestling is a very strange creature with the mind of its own. You never know what works out, what gets over, what doesn't. You cannot plan things, you know, like you're going to promote this wrestler to make him a star. Therefore, people will be buying all the merchandise. Wrestling itself is a very strange creature, and wrestling fans also pretty strange creature.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. So it's like you have to be a wrestling person, wrestling people to understand what people like and what people dislike.
Yeah, it's not a mobile game.
Yeah, not a mobile game. And also, wrestlers are not just the faces on their trading card.
It's complex. It's a lot more. You can't just explain it one or two sentences. It's not something that's engineered.
Hope they learn from it because back to what Rossi's been, you know, is going to be doing is that not all the wrestlers are going to Rossi's new company, okay? Only handful. And only handful about this. And main event talent, okay? Main event talent. And also a veteran who can train people.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm going to say it again, this is not a second set of Stardom. This new company is a new chapter of Rossi's evolution, okay? That they are aiming to, you know, discover a new, you know, raw talent rookie, train them, develop them, and debut them in this new company. And the company's aiming next 5 to 10 years. Whereas I don't think this version of Bushiroad Stardom will develop wrestler or debut wrestlers there any longer. And I don't know if they think dojo system is all that important there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Rossi will have first is a dojo for everybody to practice. There's a wrestling ring in there. The people, you know, wrestlers come in and actually train. It's the professional wrestling. And they will have name talent. They will have name talent. But it's not like you are splitting Stardom in half. Or see, most of the podcasts out there, you know, I'm not really bad mouthing them, but they are all assuming that it's the big exodus. It's new, the Stardom and Rossi's new company. Is that like a 50-50 split? Is that like a 70-30 split? I don't know. It is split, but it's not like, almost like in Rossi's head, the days of Stardom era is done now. So already thinking of his new development, new company. They got the name. They got the logo. They've already ordered the championship belt. They booked the date. They already started, you know, moving towards their own plan.
How soon will it be? Is there a timetable, specific time? Can you say roughly this year?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah.
This summer?
Actually, yes.
Possibly. Oh.
Before.
Okay. There's a window. So.
Yeah. Then they'll be running places like a Korakuen, you know? And I believe they'll be already this year sometime will be running places like Sumo Palace.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean,
so what they don't understand about Rossi is that you and I talk about that before. See, Rossi's career, you know, I should say now that Rossi's legacy started back in 1987, beauty pair era, in age of 19. 20, when he started working for All Japan Women, the Matsunaga Brothers version of All Japan Women, you know, and early 80s into and late 80s, that the Crash Girls era, the name Crash Girls, Rossi came up with it, you know. They were underneath tag team, underneath people like Jaguar Yokota and Devo Masami. But this Crash Girls, Lioness Asuka and Chigusa Nagai have gotten so popular, but she just, there was like had a momentum. And Rossi really was driven to do this and that, recording, you know, singing and dancing and doing the musical, opera, the theatrical movie, to all the merchandise that they have. Today's every wrestling company has merchandise. But in the 80s, all they had was like a t-shirt and keychains, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they came up with all kinds of gimmick that they became everyday thing in wrestling. And ring names like Dump Matsumoto, Bonakano, the Crane Yu, the Grizzly Iwamoto, the Bison Kimura, the Aja Kong, it all came from Rossi's desk. People don't know that. And I asked Rossi, you know, over time, it's like, why don't you take credit? He's done it and said, if you start telling people I did this, I did that, it's like, they'll dislike you because of it, you know,
in Japan. Yeah.
So it's like he'd rather not say and enjoy how people's loving it, you know, or like ring names like Akira Hokuto, yeah, Suzuka Minami, and all the Dream All Card, Jumping Bomb Angel name, all came from Rossi's desk. Matsunaga Brothers didn't do it. Matsunaga Brothers sell shows, you know, and then they can fry noodles, yes. They can count cash in the box office. They book building 300 nights a year, all these things. But creative end, you know, the Jimmy Kayama, the fourth brother of Matsunaga Brothers, and Toshikuni, they were doing it. But Rossi was really behind this wrestling mind, this ring name to costume to like a more tomboy looking team to a girly looking team to a big heel to all these characters that you kind of drew a map. And that was Rossi. And he always said that, he told me that it's like his hidden pleasure to know that he's done it, but not telling people about it. You know, very humble, right?
I see.
Yeah. Then after Crash Girls, he was the one who brought Madusa to Japan. He made her a star in Japan. And that the Madusa, Alondra Blade, is talking about it to this day. There. 90s cross promotion, All Japan Women against JWP, against LLPW, against FMW Women's Division, and all these, just all the women's wrestling company got together and then ran big shows in Yokohama Arena, the Sumo Palace, at the Nippon Budokan, all the way to Tokyo Dome. It was Rossi's idea. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Rossi just came out of nowhere to start stardom. It's like, if they don't know about this history, they better study history.
And a lot of Western fans, if they're not familiar, Rossi was also behind the original visit to WWF in 1995.
The Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was the first time I had ever seen.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah,
I mean,
they brought Aja Kong, the Kyoko Inoue, the Saki Hasegawa,
Chaparita Asari.
Yeah. Lioness Asuka.
Aja Kong, Lioness Asuka. Yeah. Alondra Blaze was there.
Alondra Blaze was there, yeah. Because she was the one who put together the idea and all that. And it was going to be Aja Kong against Alondra Blaze the following Royal Rumble. That never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, that's right. That's like it was good, you know, exposure, huh? For a Western fan to know about. And also,
yeah.
87, it was the Itsuki Yamazaki,
right.
And yeah. That Norio Tateno's Jumping Bomb Angels, you know, like a 10-month run,
like a little,
against Glamour Girl.
Tour, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That opened a lot of, opened eyes for Japanese wrestling. Whoa! You know, like, that's how they were throwing missile kick off the top rope before anybody was doing it.
Yeah.
And also the bridge up, like today's term, that matrix.
Sure, yeah. The bridging out of the pin.
Yeah, and then gets up all the way.
Yes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
No support from the, like, just all the core muscles, just going back.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Also, Jumping Bomb Angels. Crash Girls had toy in America, but it wasn't the Japanese female that they imagined. But Jumping Bomb Angels was this Japanese doll, black hair here, and looks so Japanese. And they people thought they were twins. They weren't. But, you know, that's like your almost stereotypical Japanese women looking, but does this just ass-kicking professional wrestling. And, thanks to Leilani Kai and Judy Martin, great catchers. Yeah, but that kind of run. And, yes, also Rossi was behind that. And that kind of things. And see, if you study these things, that you will know more about Rossi and how he had to leave this current stardom environment. Yeah. I tell you one more time. See, this version of Bushiroad, fight executive did not respect wrestling, did not respect wrestlers, and did not respect Rossi Ogawa. And Julia made a comment about a month ago on a long interview, and they kicked one president out of there, the Harada guy. Then they brought this Taro Okada from Bushiroad fight to be president, 35-year-old president. Now he thinks he's running it.
I remember, it's maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we went to a stardom show, and it was right before all of this started, right before Bushiroad. It was just, they just come in with stardom. The deal just happened. Julia had left Ice Ribbon that week. And that was, it was going to be like Bushiroad plus Hana Kimura. It was a very, very specific feeling, and everything that show, it was, what was it? The Grand Prix finals, Grand Prix. It felt that it was a very different company at that time. And I really think that around that point, maybe that during that winter, there was pre-stardom.
Yeah, they were still new. The Bushiroad executive I'm talking about, they were still new and they were careful about it. And about a year later, they start saying, all right, I know wrestling now. And then start overruling everything Rossi was doing. And then Rossi said, huh? That wasn't a deal. Mm. And also, yeah, I don't know if I should say this, but, you know, if you remember Jungle Kyona, was a, you know,
she wrestled
best Jungle Kyona of Stardom.
Stardom. You know? She wrestled in a Pro Wrestling Noah show last year.
Oh, okay. After she came back from the knee injury. Okay.
Yes.
She was best friend of Hana Kimura.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She pitched the idea to Stardom to have Hana Kimura Memorial Show. They should have had it. Don't you think?
I was always wondering why they didn't do it.
Then basically fired. Kyona wanted to leave too, but they basically fired her because they're over it.
I mean, the feelings around it all. It was the end of the era. It felt like that.
You know, Hana Kimura's memorial show, Stardom should have done it.
Of course they should. I was always wondering why they never
Kidani
did it.
But Kidani said that the big boss of Bushiroad, the Bushiroad trading and game company, we're not helping. We're not helping Kyoko, not knowing Kyoko Kimura was a star wrestler before. You know, and then also they did not want to fight network channel Fuji, Channel 8. I mean, if you support Hana Kimura and the Memorial Show and all this, you know, that the Kyoko Kimura's cause with the company, that it will make Channel 8 Fuji Television an enemy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, all in all, they didn't do it. They did not run Hana Kimura Memorial Show. And shortly after that, Jungle Kyona was fired. Ugh.
It's a different company. It became a different company around that time.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't help anything on Hana Kimura end at all. And evidently, Rossi couldn't flex his muscle either on that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of things start happening, and Rossi finally made up his mind that these people don't understand wrestling. That the only way to fix this is for him to leave. Mm. Yeah, it's been about a year that he made up his mind. You know, he stayed through 2023 and finally gave notice back in November of last year, and they knew he was going to leave. And leave, you know, Rossi leaving automatically means that he's going to start a new women's wrestling company, of course. That's what he does, you know? And they knew about it. And they even said that, okay, after 3 years, you know, let's have Rossi's new company against Stardom and have a cross-promotional big show. So they understood that too. But now that in order to make Rossi look really bad, that they terminated his, you know, contract before the due, and announced it like it's a news.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Tokyo Sports, Nikkan Sports, Yahoo News, that Rakuten News, all these sport outlet, they will all cover it, and that will always be translated with Google translation right away in this day and age. Does that make sense?
And we get an answer that's not quite true, but it's not completely false either. It's like a game of telephone that goes around and it gets to the English speaking audiences, and it's not the right
story. Completely different story. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm happy to get the
not record. Understanding Rossi's value and his, you know, his vision and what he had accomplished. That they go, well, who needs Rossi? It's like, bye-bye, Rossi. It's like, Stardom stay the same. But I'll give you a good evidence. This you know, this week, actually, Stardom had two Korakuen shows this week.
Mm-hmm.
Two Korakuen shows. One on Valentine's Day and one tomorrow, then Saturday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did not even come up with the lineup last week. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
It's wrestling, you know, running wrestling shows or wrestling companies, not just putting together lineups. You have lineup, you have ups and downs, you have short-term storyline, you have long-term storyline, and schedule or who to push, who not to push, or who's going to turn from heel to babyface, or somebody's going to, you know, walk out of one faction and join in another faction. That's a big storyline that will create the who against who. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't just put together names and somebody against somebody, somebody against somebody, and who's going over. It takes professional person to do so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's an art to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you have to have just vision and understanding and who people like, what this special thing about this certain character, certain wrestler, what to polish and not what not to polish, or, you know, this girl is good when she does this, but not so good with this kind of storyline. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not everybody work alike. Some people are this, some people are technical, some people just great being heel. You know, it's okay not to be all lean and pretty. Sometimes you need chunky, fat heel, or the, you know, tall, somebody told to do the big boot, or, you know, a smaller girl to do a lucha libre, or just, but it has to fit into certain, I mean, perfect place. That's like the whole, you know, wrestling, you know, thing. Mm. And we'll see how they do it, you know? Yeah.
We'll have to keep our eye on the news.
Yeah. I'm sure that I've been sounding very one-sided, like talking about, you know, talking Rossi's side of the story, but evidently this, On Valentine's Day, the February 14th,
mm-hmm.
Stardom already saw empty Korakuen Hall.
Mm. Already started.
Know? Yeah, because fans are very natural feeling things. Something's definitely happening in that company, and not everybody saying all these details, but it will all come out. They want to know who's leaving and who's staying. You know, mm-hmm. And over last weekend, Mayu Iwatani was posting her ex-Twitter very almost disturbing post, like, help me, you know, I hate myself. Let's not go there, right?
Mm.
There are wrestlers within this version of Stardom who wants to leave but can't leave, feel stuck, you know? And maybe, you know, a year from now, January of 2025, more wrestlers will be leaving Stardom to join, you know, Rossi's new company. But it's not Rossi's goal to get all the wrestlers from Stardom. Stardom should remain Stardom, you know, go for it. But this chapter of Rossi's, you know, adventure, he wants to start wrestling company again from the scratch. Just handful main event wrestlers to start and five Americans. But the goal is to discover your golden rookie and make this new wrestler a main event star, say, 2 to 3 year period. Remember when he started RCM back in 1997?
Mm-hmm.
He got a lot of wrestlers from All Japan Women. But the golden, Reggie Bennett, that Mariko Yoshida and all that. But the golden rookie was Ayako Hamada.
That's right. That was where she never was. She in All Japan Women? No, she was too young.
No, never. Oh, not just that. Was waiting because she was a daughter of great, you know, Grand Hamada. Was always like wanted to be in that ring as a kid. But
was she living in Japan?
Huh?
Was she living?
No, she wasn't living in Japan then.
She was in Mexico.
She was like a 13, 14 living in Mexico.
I see.
But the Grand Hamada, father of Grand Hamada, was back in Japan. She was all ready to come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she, Rossi already have this golden rookie.
That's right.
Candidate. I mean, in his hand now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a great coach too. Yeah. So it's like, it's not like you'll have second set of Stardom. So it's not a big exercise like a 50-50 split, 70-30 split. Some 5-6 main event talent are coming. They already told the company, told the Stardom that they are not re-signing their contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they know who they are, but Stardom's not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that weird?
It is. I don't want to say it's, I mean, not weird, but I feel like I've heard echoes of this a little bit throughout the news cycles the past couple years, both with Stardom and with New Japan. But I don't know. All that I can hope for is that Rossi, like you said, the next chapter of his career, it's not, this is going to be, all eyes are going to be on him this year. So,
And it's not the second portion of Stardom. Stardom should be Stardom. You know, mm-hmm. they're there, you know, and Rossi's not there to really destroy them like a enemy. Rossi wanted to do his own thing. And only way to do so, he had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Then start mm-hmm. a new company from the scratch. And for American or English-speaking world, it's very important that he does not have corporate backer. He'll do it with his own money.
So that's true in the spirit.
I guess, yeah. But the Stardom started that way.
Independent meaning independent of any financial backing.
Yeah, yeah. But this day and age, you know, way back in 70s and 80s and 90s, you needed to have TV money.
Yes.
You know, TV right money for like annual income to make that you calculate your budget. You know, like you get so-and-so $1 million from this TV station annually. Therefore, you can structure your schedules and live shows and, you know, wrestler salary scale and all these things. But this time, it's on the internet streaming service that people pay per show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he'll have that. Yeah. Not your traditional television, but streaming oriented. Yeah. Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. It'll be interesting as they'll actually, there are over 15 women's wrestling company in Japan.
15.
Sometimes I couldn't even count anymore, you know, because another one might start this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, geez, in the past 2 weeks, we've gotten so much news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ross is doing it, and And also, you know, that the current red belt champion of Stardom getting mad at both Bushiroad and Rossi. I'm talking about Micah, who's champion, world mm-hmm. champion right now, that she had a great match and had a great title match and she did her best to have great match and defend the belt and everything. Nobody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
All the news went to big split of Rossi and Bushiroad and falling out and this and that. It's all politics kind of thing. And what about wrestlers and actual wrestling matches? I can see that. Micah has been a very good champion. That was her time to shine. Yeah.
That's the new trend that's been happening a lot. That's how, you know, whenever there is great wrestling happening, there's always something that people are more interested in, like CM Punk or Vince McMahon stuff, or it's just, that's how people are more attracted to that. Seemingly, unfortunately, it's just it's a part of the
something wrestling. Sticky.
It's that mutated extra limb that's coming out of pro wrestling. It's wasn't intended, but it's there. It's just how it is. It's the nature of the new business. Like it's just we could talk about how much we liked it, how it used to be, but it's that's how it is going forward.
But when I go to the building, I really enjoy show.
And I think matches. That's the key, is going to the show. You got to go and be in person and experience it like a human thing, like you were saying earlier. It's very human. So you need to...
Yeah, it's a very strange creature. Wrestling fans are, and wrestling itself is, the strange creature with a mind of its own.
Mm. And it's always evolving very quickly, always in a unexpected ways, too. It's... There's the talent, there's the business side, and there's the fans.
A third factor that we don't know about.
I think it's the fans. I think because you can't predict what the full fan, like the fans as one element as well.
Like an entity.
You get like the
collective soul.
Customers or fans or
the market
business. The market. Yeah. I mean, that's one part that it's hard to predict what's going to happen because it's based on so many different things, what's going on in everybody's lives, in the world, in the countries that you're in. economy, cultural hot topics, health issues. Things change so quickly. So the wrestling has to always adapt to what's happening in the world, whatever it may be. However non or unwrestling it may be, wrestling has to, you can't stop bringing in things from the outer world. The whole key with wrestling and the best wrestling is bringing in what is happening right now.
Yeah, that goes with what's really happening in older wrestling fans' mind lately, that a lot of people actually, you know, older fans over 50 feel guilty about liking and what have been watching WWE for so long. Mm. And now you understand the man, the big boss, was pure evil. You know, and feel guilty for, you know, watching and supporting, you know, the product for so long. But I always, you know, we had, even in Japan, we have that discussion and the conversation. But we always say that there was wrestling before Vince, and there will be wrestling after Vince. And Vince McMahon did not create everything. Mm. And certainly, he didn't create us, you know?
Hey, listen, we were at Tokyo Dome about a year ago with 30,000 people, and there was nothing had to do with Vince McMahon.
Not one thing. Oh, you're talking about Takeshi Muto's retirement?
There were a lot of people in that dome that didn't care.
On Tuesday night or something?
On a Tuesday night.
Yeah, school night, and no freebies, like walk up, like genuine 35,000 people.
People were buying merchandise at 11 in the morning. There was a huge line.
Day. And also, that was a night that you walk around the hall, you know, like, you know, not just merchandise, but they just go get a popcorn or something, or just walk around the aisles. Like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Mm-hmm. Keep running into people you used to, or you haven't seen in 8 years, you know, and just, no, this one I had to make it. It's like,
backstage, you know, backstage was just every company's guys. Just walking around, because they all had their own dressing rooms, but everybody was just, oh, there's Kano walking around in his, you know, sandals. And there's Okada is coming in with the $10,000 suit and the Gucci bag and his two, they weren't wrestlers, but they had suits to his, you know, his posse, his entourage. He had his like people, all different worlds crossing paths. Very much felt like Ric Flair. Very much felt like Nick Bockwinkle. It felt very world champion.
Every company's, all the wrestlers, you know, but kind of mingled, and the great atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was awesome. It was amazing. Yeah. But
for somebody like Keiji Muto, today's wrestling hero, and he really had his final match that night. Mm. Yeah,
I you know,
and the bonus truck with Chono too.
It's amazing. But I do want to, looking back now, I want to give the credit where credit's due. I think Tetsuya Naito was awesome in that match. I think, I don't think people give him the credit. I think that was his match. That was his, maybe his best match ever.
So we don't have to feel, you know, terrible about being a wrestling fan, you know?
No way. That was beautiful.
It's not about it was Vince beautiful, man. Vince McMahon did not create wrestling. There was wrestling before Vince. There will be wrestling after Vince. You know, he didn't create everything, and they didn't create us. You know,
I feel, considering how negative everything is these days, and considering how cynical I am, I do believe that, like we said, Vince didn't create everything, and I think there's a big possibility that wrestling can actually not just match where it was in the 80s or 70s. I think it can be a lot bigger than it ever was, ever, 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 without any stench of McMahon or anything on it. I think, listen, I think that mixed martial arts in the world really changed things. And I think that it split the pro wrestling world. Actually, I think people that go to UFC in America now are the same people who would have gone to see WWF, WCW, and NWA in the 80s, for example. I think that pro wrestling fans, it's a mix of everything right now, but I do feel like if done correctly, pro wrestling can be like back when it was like Jim Lundos bringing hundreds of thousands of people to an arena. All yeah. you need is a good story and two people that fans believe
and
in.
And also, it's publicly traded entity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not somebody's, you know, almost like a family dynasty. You know, it's bigger.
It's an idea. Better. It's yeah, concept. Yeah. It's art yeah. form.
And also, I think that bringing in this public, you know, hero, Rock, into the board member is great PR. Yeah. And also, yeah, a lot of people have a hard time accepting Rock as heel. But it's like finally Hollywood, you know, Rock. That it's if you just keep doing this, if you smell what the Rock is cooking, it's like a rerun of what he used to be. Mm-hmm. If Rock, you know, if Rock should be relevant, this is his new chapter too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, because Hogan was bigger somewhat with NWO Hogan.
Kind of.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Kind of.
So he had his... two different chapter. It's good.
Yes. Terry Funk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Different Terry Funk. Yeah. Texas Bronco to hardcore funk to like really old and clunky funk. And all, we all loved him. But yeah, different era, different character, and different evolution to it.
Jericho, you know? And.
Oh, Jericho. Stay relevant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. It's important, it seems like. It seems like it's very important to.
Yeah. So the same way that the Rossi is relevant. That yeah. this is not his second set of stardom. It will be something different. That the new stars, you know, the new company name, new logo, new storyline, new roster. Some of the main event, you know, rest of the film stardom will be there. But mainly the aiming 5 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now is a completely different roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But his and approach...
Yeah, but I don't think Stardom will, this Bushiroad version of Stardom will develop new talent. I don't think. We'll see.
Well, they'd have a different philosophy, it seems like, at the Bushiroad Fight Company.
Yeah, because I don't think they understand the importance of dojo and, you know, training rookie and make them into somebody.
Mm.
They like somebody that are already somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. They want a hot commodity to sell as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because it's a product and a content, you know? They're not into young lions or anything like that.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be a slow process, but mm-hmm. that's how you create that long-term fandom. You can create short-term and also, fans. But...
You know, for wrestling fans and wrestling people, wrestling should last forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It depends on who's in charge and how they are looking, or their scope. How long is it? Are they looking at, you know, it's going to be March next. So fiscal year is ending. Them, so.
Yeah, it's like they are having a hard time coming up with tomorrow's lineup. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone Cinderella tournament or
Grand Prix or
Grand Prix tournament to tag team Grand Prix to that just the calendar year Rossi created, if you remember.
It was like a seasonal. There were certain tournaments and certain
and then the calendar year thing. I'm sure they're doing it because they're keeping their red belt and white belt and all the tag team belts and all these things, you know. But yeah, we'll see what happens because Rossi said they're done with this, you know.
I think what we can learn is you can really tell the more you watch, the more you study, the more you can tell the people in charge, are they wrestling people or are they not wrestling people? And I think
it matters.
It's good to be a fan and have that eye to just kind of think. You don't have to, you know, make any decisions, but it's always good to be thinking about it. Like, do I like this? Do I not? Why so? Who's in charge?
Yeah, but can't be just wrestling fan, mm-hmm. but the, knowing what wrestling fans want is interesting, but you have to go above that too, you know.
It's work,
yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
all right.
So did you have any questions? Because you heard other people's, you know, what they're talking about, Rossi, the Stardom, and this, and the split, the Exodus, and this.
No, I'm very clear on. I don't want to give any credence to the silliness that I read on the internet or hear, and people talk in a way like the world is going to end, the wrestling world is ending because this.
Yeah, because just as soon as this Rossi, contract being terminated by Bushiroad executive, that about an hour later, they on X, Twitter, and other the social media, Rossi and Julia, WWE bound.
I know it's all about the speed.
Not the
of
whole
the story.
World is America.
I have mean? To. Like, oh my God!
America,
I feel like
a lot of American people think that the entire world is America.
Yeah, it's hard to get them out of that thinking. It's terrible, to be honest. It's a terrible time. It's a terrible time. Yeah. But yeah, we live in a world where people can respond, and I don't think people even feel 100% of what they type. They just kind of say it on impulse, and they don't understand the effect.
At this day and age, it's out there.
It's out there and affects people.
Yeah, it's just as soon as you type something, it's out there.
But it could hit somebody on the other side of the river another way, It's good to get first-hand info. So thank you for the first-hand info. You are there. So if you're going to trust the information, it's good to trust the information from somebody who's there, not somebody who's heard something on a podcast from a person who talked to a friend of another person who kind of was at the show, yada, yada, yada. Fumi-san was there. It's so amazing that you can be as close to a situation as possible. I've had this feeling myself recently with Noah. You have the exact information, the precise information on what's going on. And even when you say it to people, they just won't even believe you. They don't want to believe you. They refuse to believe you. And it's like, it's not an opinion. I'm not trying to change my, this is how it is. And people just, it's amazing. I've been so surprised over the past 2 years. Yeah. I'm amazed.
But that's not about to change.
It's getting worse. It's I'm it's very okay, jaded.
Rossi is going to announce all these shortly, and they will have announced the new company's name and logo right away. And they will announce the first card. Oh, they will announce who's on it. It's going to come real quick.
All right. We'll keep our eyes peeled. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have the email that we'll put right on the bottom, but I guess until next time.
So long from Tokyo. Write that down.
All right, welcome back.